From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues A Message in Stones, another in this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns is focusing on chapter 4 and verse 6, and the question, What mean ye by these stones? The reference is to God's instructions to Joshua to take 12 stones out of the dry riverbed and to set them up as a memorial on the Canaan side of the river. In addition, he was to set up a pillar of 12 stones in the riverbed itself. In dealing with this text, Dr. Cairns is setting forth three observations, speaking of the past, the present, and the future for God's people. First of all, the Lord intended these stones to be a perpetual reminder of His grace. The application goes beyond Israel's immediate situation to the lives of all of God's people in every generation. It is the responsibility of every Christian to keep Christ's crosswork constantly in mind. Then not only are we to remember God's grace, but it is His will that His grace be the perpetual experience of His children. Believers are called upon to have an up-to-date relationship with Christ every day. Thirdly, these memorial stones remind us that God intends His grace to be perpetually proclaimed. God's people are to carry the message of Christ's cross to all the world, and particularly to their own children. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in a few minutes. First, we offer this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Mourning, Christian, why weepest thou? Art thou mourning over thine own corruptions? Look to thy perfect Lord, and remember thou art complete in Him. Thou art in God's sight as perfect as if thou hadst never sinned. Nay, more than that, the Lord our righteousness hath put a divine garment upon thee, so that thou hast more than the righteousness of man, thou hast the righteousness of God. O thou who art mourning by reason of inbred sin and depravity, remember none of thy sins can condemn thee. Thou hast learned to hate sin, but thou hast learned also to know that sin is not thine. It was laid upon Christ's head. Thy standing is not in thyself, it is in Christ. Thine acceptance is not in thyself, but in thy Lord. Thou art as much accepted of God today, with all thy sinfulness, as thou wilt be when thou standest before His throne, free from all corruption. O, I beseech thee, lay hold on this precious thought, perfection in Christ, for thou art complete in Him. With thy Savior's garment on, thou art holy as the Holy One. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christian, let thy heart rejoice, for thou art accepted in the Beloved. What hast thou to fear? Let thy face ever wear a smile. Live near thy Master. Live in the suburbs of the celestial city. For soon, when thy time has come, thou shalt rise up where thy Jesus sits, and reign at His right hand, even as He has overcome, and has sat down at His Father's right hand. And all this, because the divine Lord was made to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. These sensitive renditions are sure to bring blessing to your heart and mind each time you listen to them. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
The grace of God must not only be remembered, the person and work of Christ must not only be remembered, but they must be constantly, perpetually, day by day experienced in the lives of the people of God. Then we can come to the third great thing, and it's only then. This is really what the text is all about. When God's grace is remembered and experienced, then we can appreciate that the Lord intended His grace to be perpetually proclaimed. But that's the order. Remember it, experience it, and then proclaim it. That's the order. The text is, what mean ye by these stones? What are these stones to you? Verse 7 says, then ye shall answer them. Then ye shall answer them. Verse 21 says, and it puts it very bluntly, ye shall let your children know, or verse 22 should I say, ye shall let your children know. This is proclamation. The stones were meant to be a means of ensuring that the testimony and witness of the Lord's mighty acts never died out in Israel. God's people were to know what the Lord had done. They were to know the message, and they were them to tell it. And as they told it, they were to have a very special interest in telling it to their children. And verse 24, they were to look upon this message as a means of moving the world. Even the heathen would feel its power. Now, these are the elements that must grip us. Let me go through them again, one by one. We must carry the message of God's mighty acts. That's our ministry. And that's our message. On the day of Pentecost, what did they preach? Acts 2:11. The people who gathered there, they said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. On Pentecost, they were telling the story of God's mighty acts. And all the mighty acts of God always climax in what he did at Calvary. Now, that's our message. And that's our ministry. It's our duty to tell it. And it's our delight to tell it. What God hath wrought. My, isn't the world today dying for want of the message of what God hath wrought? Instead of setting up personality cults and denominational cults and telling what man has done and the greatness of man's achievement, the world is dying to hear what God hath wrought. Oh, that's the delight and the duty of the people of God, to get out there and carry the message abroad. And as we carry it abroad, we must have a special interest in ensuring that our own children learn it. Notice carefully, this was the first great burden that the children of Israel had to carry here, the burden for the generations to come. Now, there's a sense in which a man can only serve his own generation. I'm not going to be ultimately responsible for what happens 100 years after I die, unless what I do today directly impacts what is going to happen down the line. I can serve God in my own generation, as the scripture tells us David did. He served God in his generation. We can do it in ours, but we can best do it by addressing the generation that is to come. When children come and they ask their parents, what do these things mean to you? First of all, they want to ensure that they do mean something to you. They're probing the reality of your religion. And if your religion is not real, let me repeat it, you do a terrible disservice to your own family. You do more to damn them in hell than all the liberals and the apostates and the rock stars and everything else out there. Oh, they'll do their bit, but you do more if the grace of God does not really mean anything much to you. What does it mean to you? What is it to you? They're probing that. And your burden, therefore, as a Christian, in your own family must be to ensure that the truth as you have received it reaches them with all the clarity, with all the honesty, and with all the spiritual reality with which it reached you. If there's going to be any breaking down in the chain of carrying the gospel with truth and spiritual reality, let us vow before God by His grace that breach will not start with me. That's what Joshua was getting through to the people to whom he spoke. It's an emphasis that is constantly repeated throughout the Old Testament. This is not a one-off thing. In Exodus chapter 12, when Moses was dealing with the children of Israel just before they left Egypt, this is the message, verses 26 and 27, "It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? Then ye shall say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." The very same thing in Deuteronomy. And I'm not by any means going to give you all of these. But Deuteronomy 6, verse 20 and 21. The same idea. "When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded us? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand." That's the duty that we must take very, very seriously. Not just even as parents to children, but as adults to the generation coming. That should be the constant burden of every Christian in the Church of Christ. This is something that should burn itself, for instance, into the heart of every Sabbath school teacher, into the heart of every children's worker, into the heart of everyone who has contact with the generation that is to come. The psalmist said in Psalm 145, verse 4, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." That is God's ordained way of carrying on the message and the ministry of the gospel. We must take it very seriously. The New Testament is no less clear. In Acts 2:39, we have the statement, "The promise is to you and to your children." But how are they going to hear? In Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." It's the very same emphasis in the New Testament as it is in the Old. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 4, there is a very important message to parents. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Very often, of course, that's exactly what we do. Sometimes the fault is among the children, because we live, unfortunately, in a very angry generation. But sometimes the fault is on the part of the parents. And the apostle says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." What's the alternative? "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now let's look at that injunction rather more carefully. Bring them up. What does that mean? Well, go back to chapter 5, verse 29. "No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it." That's the very same word that's translated, "bring them up." Nourish your children. Nurture your children. How do you do it? Nurture them in the nurture. The word nurture is the word discipline, or the word the training of the Lord. The word admonition is basically referring to the mind. In fact, the word mind is right in the word. And it's speaking of instruction. If you were to trace these words back to their most fundamental meaning, what the apostle is saying is, you should nourish your children. Now understand, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about hard-heartedness. He's not talking about viciousness. He's not talking about carelessness. He's talking about nourishing, building up, rearing with care and attention. How do you do it? You nourish them in the training of the Lord. And the first word that's translated nurture is training by act. And the other is training by word. And those two things must always complement each other. Nurture your children. Nourish your young people. Training them in the act and in the word of the Lord. Is that not the very message that we have been seeing again and again in the Old Testament this morning? This is something that is of fundamental importance to the people of God. We must remember God's mighty work at Calvary. We must constantly experience God's mighty work at Calvary, and we must constantly proclaim that work, but in proclaiming it, pay attention to home base.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.